Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to say thank you for being here in attendance today on this fourth Sunday in Lent here at Webster UMC, where God is good all the time.
And all the time, God is good.
Amen. So let's start out with some announcements and God sightings, and I understand Ms. Fitz has got an announcement to share with us.
I do. Gary Carden, who has attended this church occasionally, is a pretty renowned storyteller in Jackson County. He's currently a resident at Bryson Senior Living and is doing a fundraising storytelling on April the 11th at 4. It's a Saturday afternoon. If any of you have an opportunity to go, the fundraiser is to help the facility have some money for activities for the student, for the patrons, the patients. And Gary is doing that as a way of saying thank you. He's living better now. And Gary's in hospice, so he has some difficulties.
Thank you. It just goes to show that God can use us at any stage of our life, and that's wonderful that Gary's able to do that.
Well, he wants to do it. He'd like to do storytelling daily.
Right. Do we have any other announcements that we need to lift up this morning? Okay, I have a few. Bible study continues. It will be this Thursday, and Miss Karen is going to be fixing lasagna for that evening, so that should be a good dinner for us to chow down on. Most of y'all, I think all of y'all may have received your parts for the Maundy Thursday service if you have a speaking part. We still have two parts open. We had another person who said if no one would want it, that she would take it. But if there's someone that would like to take two short reading parts for that service, please let me know. We also will have our sunrise service at 7:30 on April 5th, followed by a new member event that we'll do, and then we will have breakfast following that. And so y'all please coordinate with each other as far as what you want to bring for Easter service. Do we have any God sightings this morning? Yes, Miss Bonnie.
I have so many blessings in the family right now. We have, my great nieces and nephews, my sister's grandchildren, they're all involved with drugs. And they're all heavy drinkers, and they're all heavy partiers. And then they all had kids, and their lives have turned around so much by the blessing of children. I mean, they're raising chickens. Their whole lives have just changed completely because of the children. And it's such a blessing.
For sure. Well, we had a good work week this week. We had several of us that come out and worked here on the church grounds. And spring always challenges us because we want to do more than what we know we're capable of. But we will keep pushing those boundaries as much as possible and try to get some more stuff done in the next couple of weeks. And I'm just appreciative of the weather myself. I understand that Mother Nature's going to throw a temper tantrum later tonight and tomorrow, so hopefully she'll get over it and move on and we'll have spring kick in like it's supposed to. Do we have any other God sightings that we'd like to share today?
Well, even the smallest of things. I walked out of the car with JD and asked him what he wanted for dinner tonight. He said ham and cabbage. I walked through the door, and lo and behold,
there's your cabbage. I knew there was another announcement. There is some free produce here in the kitchen. Make sure to make use of it. There's sweet potatoes, carrots, onions, I think a few oranges, some apples. So get what you want out of it and make sure to take some of that home. Even if you just get some carrots and take it, throw it in some beef stew, you're already a step ahead. So please make sure to use that because if not, Jackrabbit back here in the backyard is going to wind up eating most of it. So get you a bag and take some of that home with you. Any other ones? Okay, then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather here in your presence this morning with such grateful hearts, seeking your guidance and blessing as we come together in worship. Lord, I now ask that you quiet our minds and open our hearts to receive your word. Let the Holy Spirit come into this place and help draw us closer to you and to one another. And Father, as always, we dedicate this service to you, asking that all we do will bring glory and honor to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I will ask that you please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5 and read verses 8 through 14 as Miss Diane brings us to focus upon the Lord. That you please turn to page 407. We will do all three verses and we will sing Close to Thee. Please stand if you're able. Thank you. stand, and I ask that you please turn in your red hymnal to page 754, where we will do the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures.
Leads me beside still waters, restores my life.
Leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff that comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
He's undergone quite a bout with dehydration due to some medication that he received. And he's getting better, but he could use a little help from the good heavens above.
Okay. Any other prayer requests this morning? Okay, then let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, as we continue in worship, we lift before you the many needs that are laid upon our hearts. We pray for this country, and we ask that wisdom and integrity is given to the leaders to help guide our nation in ways of justice and peace. We also remember our families and friends, asking your protection and blessing over them. Please draw them close to your love and keep them united in faith, hope, and compassion. We lift up those this morning that lay on our hearts, Carl Nichols, Gary Carden, J.D. and Madison, and those that remain unspoken. We ask for intercession for our community, that kindness and understanding would flourish among neighbors, and for all who are struggling, who are lonely, that you would comfort them. And Father, we also pray for our little church, that you would strengthen our fellowship and inspire our service and fill us with the spirit of unity and love. Help us, Almighty God, to be instruments of your grace, reaching out with care and mercy to those who are around us. Trusting in your unfailing mercy and goodness, we will now join together in prayer as Jesus taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I will now ask Miss Bonnie if she will join me at the table. shepherd. You walk beside us through valleys and over mountaintops, guiding us with grace and guarding us with love. In your presence, we lack nothing that truly matters. Even in a world clouded by shadows, your light shines through, inviting us to live as children of the day. Receive these gifts of God as signs of our desire to walk in your ways, to live as your people, and to shine with goodness, justice, and truth that reflect your image. Let our giving be more than ritual. Let it be an act of trust, a response to your faithfulness, and a testimony of your life and work in us. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Today's reading is being shared by two liturgists coming out of John 9 through 1 through 41. So I thank Fitz and Kent for sharing this responsibility for this today. So whoever's first, please go ahead and read.
John chapter 9. Then as he passed by, he saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, Neither did this man sin nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and anointed his eyes with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went away therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they that saw him aforetime, that he was a beggar, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? Others said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He said, I am he. They said therefore unto him, How then were thy eyes opened? He answered, The man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go into Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed and I received sight. And they said unto him, Where is he? He saith, I do not know. They bring to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now that it was the Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Again, therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said to them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some therefore of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. And they say therefore unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, in that he opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. The Jews therefore did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight, and asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now seeth, we know not, nor who opened his eyes, we know not. Ask him, he is of age, he shall speak for himself.
He is of age. He will speak for himself and give his own account of it. His parents said this because they were afraid of the leaders of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged Jesus to be the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue, excommunicated. Because of this, his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So a second time, they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, Give God glory and praise for your sight. We know this man, Jesus, is a sinner separated from God. Then he answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner separated from God, but one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And so they said to him, What did he actually do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again and again? Do you want to become his disciples too? And at that remark, they stormed at him and jeered, You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know for certain that God has spoken to Moses, but as to this man, we do not know where he is from. The man replied, Well, this is astonishing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know, according to your tradition, that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone fears God and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, It has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything like this, because God would not hear his prayer. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins from head to foot, and you presumed to teach us?" And they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that they had put him out of the synagogue, and finding him, he asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and in fact, he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe in you and your word." And he worshipped him with reverence and awe. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, to separate those who believe in me from those who reject me, to declare judgment on those who choose to be separated from God, so that the sightless would see, and those who could see would become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind to spiritual things, you would have no sin and would not be blamed for your unbelief. But since you claim to have spiritual sight, you have no excuse. Your sin and your guilt remain."
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
For those who are joining us online today, today's message is called Mud Pies and Miracles. Now, when I was a little girl, there was nothing better than playing in the mud after a good rainstorm. The ground would be soft and squishy, and before long, me and my siblings, we would be outside and we would be playing and scooping and mixing dirt and water together. And if we were really fortunate, we were barefooted and we could squish our toes into that soft, warm mud. It was a great feeling as a kid. And here together we were mixing this dirt and water, thinking that we were master chefs working in an outdoor kitchen. We made mud pies, right? To us, those mud pies were works of art. We would pat them and we'd shape them. We'd decorate them with little sticks and pebbles. And if we were feeling really artistic, we would pick little flowers and put on top of them. We were just so proud. Here was our fancy little mud pies, as if we had baked something worthy of a cooking show. But of course, here comes Mom and Dad. And they have a quite different opinion about their children playing in mud. They didn't see art. They saw a mess. They saw muddy hands, dirty clothes, a pile of laundry waiting to happen. But as children, we didn't care, because we know they're going to have to wash our faces too, because we actually tried to eat those mud pies. We loved it. It was the joy of taking something ordinary, just plain old dirt and water, and turning it into something new and beautiful. And we were allowed to express ourselves and be creative and use our imagination. Now, I want you to hold on to that image, because in our scripture today from the Gospel of John, something very similar happens. Only this time, the one kneeling in the dirt isn't a child at play. It is Jesus. The story begins with Jesus and his disciples walking down this old dusty road when they pass a man who had been blind since birth. Now think about that for a moment. He had never seen the world. He had never seen the colors of a sunset or the green of the trees. He had never seen the faces of his parents or the streets of his hometown. His entire life had been lived in darkness. In those days, people just didn't see blindness as a physical condition. Oh no, someone sinned. We will get to the root of this. We want to find out who messed up. Who caused your sin? Was it your parents or the grandparents before, or was it you? If something was wrong with you, people assumed that you had sinned and God was punishing you. We talked about this Thursday night, about this punitive God. And he was going around and zapping people. I love that. BJ was talking about how God was zapping people because they got out of shape and how they was being bad. So the disciples look at this blind beggar and they ask Jesus a question that people probably already had whispered in this man's life. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? Why was he born blind? It's the kind of question people still ask today. When something tragic happens, when someone suffers, when life doesn't make sense, we look for someone to blame. It's your fault, right? We look for that. And he turns around and refuses the premise on all grounds. He says, now wait a minute. Neither this man nor his parents have sinned. He was born blind because God's work is going to be revealed in him today. What do you think about that? And then Jesus does something that must have surprised everyone standing there. He spits on the ground. I'm sitting here thinking like this old country farmer with a wad and he's, you know, but no, he doesn't do that. He puts his saliva to the ground. Now that may kind of sound strange to our ears, but imagine the moment. Jesus is kneeling down in the dirt. He spits on the ground and he takes his hands and he starts kneading that dust beneath his hands until it becomes mud with his spit. And then he takes that mud and he gently spreads it across the eyes of the man who was blind. A man who has never seen anything. It's an unusual miracle, isn't it? Jesus could have actually just said, you're healed. And that would have been it. He's done that many times. We have seen it. He could have touched the man's eyes without spit and mud and healed him instantly. But Jesus makes mud. Now, if you know your Bible well, and I'm sure all of y'all read your Bible every day and study it profusely, we know the last time we see God working with dust and dirt and mud is when he went all the way back into Genesis. When God took some dirt and formed man from the dust of the earth. And then what he had done was he breathed life into it. So what Jesus is doing here is kind of a recreation. He is recreating this man for the first time. Through all things were made, he kneels in the dirt again and begins shaping something new through this man. Jesus is doing with mud what children do with mud pies. He's taking something ordinary from the earth and turning it into something beautiful. Now notice something here. The man is still blind. It doesn't say he was instantly healed. He is told, go down to the pool, to Shalom, or Shalom, and to rinse and take a bath and clean your eyes out. So this man still has to kind of feel his way back down the road to this pond to clean himself up. Go wash in the pool. So he stands up and he makes his way through the streets and he finds this pool. And he sits there and he starts washing his eyes and lifting it up and cleaning his eyes. And for the first time, he sees. He can see. Can you imagine that moment? Going through your whole life blind, never seeing anything. And for the first splash, he sees the rays of the sun starting to come in. He sees the first colors bursting into the world after a lifetime of darkness. It must have been emotionally overwhelming for him. But if you think the miracle is the end of the story, John is telling us, this is something else that's actually happening. Because once the man begins to see, the people around him, they're not celebrating, they're bickering. We've heard that word a couple days ago, bickering. They're arguing back and forth. He says, isn't this the man who used to sit here and beg? They're saying to each other. Some say, yeah, that's him. Others say, no, it's not. Some think he kind of looks like the man, right? And this poor fellow is saying, no, it's me. It's me, really. I'm the one. I'm the one that used to sit there and beg. I am the one who was blind. Eventually, the religious leaders, aka the Pharisees, and we all got to love the Pharisees, right? They have to get involved. And instead of celebrating the miracle, they start interrogating the man. How did this happen? Who healed you? Where is he? And the man explains that Jesus made mud. He made mud pies and put them into his eyes and told him to go take a bath, wash off. But the Pharisees are not impressed one bit. In fact, they're pretty upset. Jesus did this on the Sabbath. So instead of seeing a miracle, they see a rule being broken again. Instead of seeing a man who has received sight, they see this as a technical violation. Those 631 laws that we had been learning about, that everyone had to follow and obey. And this was the easiest one. Don't work on Sunday. The Pharisees think they see everything clearly, and they are actually the ones who cannot see what God is doing. Meanwhile, the man who lived his entire life in darkness is slowly beginning to see more and more clearly, not just here, but also here. At first, he simply calls the man Jesus, as we heard Kent say. And then we hear him say, well, he's also a prophet. And then he says, Lord, I believe. And his physical sight came just like that. But his spiritual sight, it kind of grew in baby steps, step by step. And isn't that how faith works with all of us? You know, we kind of take just a small step out, and then we kind of grow from that and get a little bit more. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And then you move again. Okay, God, I'm trusting you just a little bit further. That is faith, taking those baby steps. Most of us don't see clearly at all. Our understanding grows little by little through these little encounters that we have with Jesus over and over again. Now let me tell you a story from my own time. There was this young boy that I had gone to school with. I was probably second or third grade. His name was Johnny. Not the Johnny. This was a Johnny. Several years ago, a teacher was working with Johnny, who struggled in school. Reading was really difficult for him. Writing was difficult for him. Sitting long periods of time was almost impossible for him to complete a lesson. And some teachers had already labeled him a problem student. Some assumed he just didn't care, and others thought, well, he's just lazy. He just doesn't want to try. But this one teacher saw something different in Johnny. She began to give him small tasks. She had him pass out papers. She had him erase the blackboard. Now it's not a blackboard, it's a dry board. But back then it was a chalkboard. She noticed when his hands were busy, his mind began to settle. He felt useful, and when he felt useful, he became engaged. And slowly over time, his confidence grew. His grades improved. And the boy who had once been dismissed as the problem child began to thrive. Years later, Johnny told me, he says, he went back and he visited that teacher. And he said something to her that he will never forget, and she said she would never forget. He says, you know what? You were the first person who looked at me and saw something good. Sometimes what changes a life is not a grand speech. It's not a big dramatic moment. It's just to say, I see you. is to say, I am here for you, and there's nothing else that needs to be done. That's exactly what Jesus does in John chapter 9. Where others saw a sinner, an outcast, Jesus sees a person through whom God's glory can be revealed. When others saw a lifelong problem, Jesus saw the possibility of transformation. And sometimes, when we see darkness, Jesus sees the possibility of where a light can shine. The way that Jesus brings light into our own lives may look a little bit messy. Maybe we have a little bit of mud on our face. After all, this miracle begins with spit and dirt. Mud on a man's face is not exactly where most people would want to call a clean or polished solution. But God has a way of working through ordinary things with ordinary means. A water in a baptismal font. Bread and juice on the communion table. A manger in Bethlehem. Or even a cross on the outside of Jerusalem. You see, God takes these ordinary things of the world and uses them to do extraordinary work. Which brings us back to those good old tasting mud pies. When children mix dirt and water together, adults see nothing but the mess. But children see possibility. And maybe it's part of being a child of God that we can see possibilities that we never thought we could do on our own. They see something that could be shaped and molded and turned into something new. And in a way, that's the way Jesus looks at us. Where the world sees brokenness, Christ sees possibility. Where others see failure, Christ sees a life that can be shaped. Where others see darkness, Christ sees who is about to experience the light for the first time. In fact, earlier this very chapter, Jesus says something very powerful. So we're going to back it up just a moment. He says, I am the light of the world. And light does two things. But the Pharisee reveals only their blindness. Light helps us to see, and light helps reveals what has been hidden. So at the end of the chapter, Jesus says something that sounds almost like a riddle. He says, you know, I came into this world for judgment. So those that who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees hear this and ask, well, surely we are not blind, are we? And Jesus answers in essence that the greatest blindness of all is believing you already see everything clearly. The man who once sat in darkness now sees both physically and spiritually. But those who insisted that they have all the answers miss the miracle from the very beginning. And that raises a question for all of us. Where might God be working with us right now? Where maybe we have failed? Where might Christ be kneeling in the dirt of this world, making something new out of something ordinary? Maybe it's in a struggling neighbor. Maybe it's in a child who just needs someone to believe in them. I recently read an article about colored blindness, which is really unique. In the cones of our eyes, they have what they call these receptors that receives and filters out color. And color blindness is based on one or two things. It's how you perceive red coming in, or it's how you perceive blue coming in. And it makes everything else that you see fall flat, kind of grayish. So you don't see color. Now, there are actually seven types of colored blindness. And unfortunately, it is the male who experiences it the most. But thanks to modern science, there is now a special lens after they can test you that they can put onto a person's eyes. And for the first time, they experience color in a whole new world. And to me, when I think about this story and how overwhelming, because I've watched these young men when they receive their glasses and they put them on and they realize there is color. And they break down and they just start crying. They're so overwhelmed and filled with joy and happiness. Now think about a man who had never seen anything. And all of a sudden, all of it just rushed in at one time. You see, the truth is, God has always been in the business of making miracles out of mud. The same God who formed humanity from dust of the earth, the same Christ who knelt in the road and made mud for a blind man's eyes, that is the same God who is shaping our lives today. Still bringing sight to the blind, still turning ordinary moments into holy ones. So the next time you see some mud, no, I'm not going to ask you to make a mud pie, but maybe just take your flip-flops off and dig your toes into it. And just remember what that feels like when God touched this man. Yes, you'll probably have to go stick your feet in the creek and rinse it off, but just remember this story. Because, you know, sometimes holiness can be messy. And that is actually the beginning of a miracle. Amen. So I'm going to ask that you please stand, and we're going to sing appropriately one time. Open up your books to 349, and guess what we're going to sing? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It cannot get any better than that. Please stand. May the rose rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.